Liebe Theaterfreunde, in dieser Folge von unserer Drehbühne hätten wir Ihnen den bevorstehenden Auftritt vom Danish Dance Theatre angekündigt. Aufgrund vom neuesten Bundesratsentscheid könnten wir Ihnen About Miss Julie aber nicht, wie geplant, am 5. November zeigen. Geniessen Sie trotzdem unseren Podcast. Wir holen den Besuch vom Danish Dance Theatre zu einem späteren Zeitpunkt nach. Drehbühne. Das ist ein Podcast vom Stadttheater Schaffhausen. Und da sind wir auch schon wieder. Herzlich willkommen auf der Drehbühne, einem wöchentlichen Theaterpodcast aus dem Stadttheater Schaffhausen. Drehbühne ist ein neues Format zum Zuhören und Mitmachen. Gemeinsam mit Ihnen fahren wir die digitale Schiene als Ersatz für die herkömmlichen Stückeinführungen und Publikumsgespräche. Wir erhoffen uns, dass Sie Freude daran haben und vielleicht das ein oder andere entdecken, was Ihnen sonst verborgen geblieben wäre. Heute haben wir wieder Gäste aus der Ferne mitgebracht. Ein Danish Dance Theater aus Kopenhagen und das schon zum vierten Mal. Nachdem sie sich das Tanzensemble erstmals 2015 mit dem Stück Love Songs in die Herzen vom Schaffhauser Publikum getanzt hat, zeigt es jetzt seine neueste Kreation About Miss Julie. Das Stück ist die erste Produktion vom Danish Dance Theatre unter der neuen künstlerischen Leitung Pontus Lidberg. Und es ist eine Adaption vom skandinavischen Theaterklassiker Fräulein Julie aus den Federn vom schwedischen Schriftsteller August Strindberg. Ich freue mich jetzt, mich mit fachkundiger Unterstützung über den Hintergrund von dieser Produktion zu sprechen und begrüße ganz herzlich Theaterleiter Jens Lampater.
Einen wunderschönen guten Tag auch von meiner Seite.
Und live aus Dänemark zugeschaltet begrüße ich drei Tänzerinnen und Tänzer vom Ensemble Danish Dance Theatre. Welcome Jessica, welcome Stefano and welcome Merete. Is it correct, Merete?
Yes, that's good.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Alle drei haben das Stück About Miss Julie vor 2 Jahren mit dem Choreograf Stephen Shropshire erarbeitet und sie drei sind die ursprüngliche Originalbesetzung. Um die sprachlichen Barrieren möglichst zu gehen, werden wir immer simultan übersetzen auf Deutsch. Unsere Gäste der Woche, Jessica, Stefano, Merete.
Unsere Gäste der Woche.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I'm 30 years old. I'm Australian. And I have been dancing with the Danish Dance Theatre since 2016. And I play Julie.
Hello everyone, my name is Stefanos, I'm coming from Greece. I spent the last 10 years in Copenhagen, dancing mainly with the company here. I play the role of Jeanne in the piece, and I'm very happy to join today's podcast.
And hello, my name is Merete. I am 31 years old and I'm from Norway, so not so far away from Copenhagen. But I've been working in the company since 2016, like Jessica.
Before we continue, very quick question. Have you any memories of performing in Schaffhausen before? Has any one of you been in Schaffhausen on our stage already?
Yes
we have. Yeah. Yes. And we loved it.
Yeah, we're actually sad that we won't be the cast performing because we all had such a nice time in Schaffhausen, actually. Yeah.
Ah, that's good. Well, we hope to see you then when you come next.
Yes, I think it was so. Merete in my first season that we were there. And I think we were doing Black Diamond.
Yes, Black Diamond.
Of Tim Rushton.
Yes, that's correct.
And we all enjoyed the city very much also.
It's very cute.
What exactly do you remember? Have you got any very specific memories about Schaffhausen?
I remember the walking way from the hotel to the theater.
Yes.
This very steep downhill road going to the theater.
Coming home was hard.
Coming home and then going through some very cute and beautiful arches to enter into this part of the city where the theater is.
Yes. And wasn't there a pathway up to like a church on a hill or a small castle or something with this like green light?
Yeah, that is correct. That is the Hotel Promenade that you stayed at. Also unsere Gäste im heutigen Podcast erinnern sich noch sehr genau an ihren letzten Besuch in Schaffhausen. Das war vor einigen Jahren mit der Choreografie Black Diamond, damals in der künstlerischen Leitung von Tim Rushton. Mittlerweile hat die künstlerische Leitung des Ensembles ja gewechselt zu Stephen Shropshire. Bevor wir zum Stück kommen, möchten wir unsere Gäste noch etwas näher kennenlernen und stellen unsere wöchentlichen Gretchenfragen.
Die Gretchenfragen.
You can change roles with an important personality in theater history for one day, a day in the life of. Who would you like to be?
I'd be intrigued to be Pina Bausch. Yeah, she was such a prominent woman in dance history, and she created so many monumental works, and it would just be really interesting to be in her shoes at her time creating the work that she was creating. I think it would have been a very interesting experience to switch spots with her for a day. I think a day wouldn't be enough, but yeah.
Pina Bausch, die legendäre Choreografin vom Tanztheater Wuppertal, ist als eine Wunschperson genannt worden. Any other answers to this question?
Yeah, I think I would give you the answer. I would connect with my past and my home country, and I think most likely I would like to connect with one of the tragic heroes of one of the Greek tragedies. Specifically, I would say probably Agamemnon. I like just to experience for once how it is to be in a setup of such a magnitude and tragicness at the same time and heroism. So somewhere along these lines.
Go back to your roots, Steph. Go back to your roots.
So in this answer, we're traveling all the way back to Troy. Stephanos möchte mit einer großen Theaterfigur der griechischen Geschichte tauschen, nämlich mit dem legendären Agamemnon. Denken Sie an Troja und denken Sie an die großen Tragödien des Sophokles und des Euripides. And Merete?
Yes, I think I would say something as big of a cliche as like I would like to be Shakespeare for a day.
Nice.
Because I don't know, I wonder if his thought patterns were as beautiful as his texts. So yeah, that would be my choice.
Interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Merete wünscht sich für einen Tag in den Kopf von William Shakespeare schauen zu können und zu schauen, ob die Gedankenwelten, die er so im täglichen Leben hatte, genauso genial waren wie seine Stücke. Ich denke, das ist ein Wunsch, den wir alle teilen können. Next question. Who has influenced you most, shaped you most, given you most support? Who was the most influential person in your personal career? Wer hat dich in deiner künstlerischen Entwicklung am meisten geprägt?
It's a very hard question, and I believe all of us, we can agree on the fact that we don't to maybe pick just one person to name, so we don't discredit the others. But personally, I would say that I think every person I have really worked with has contributed to the shaping of my artistic career. But then if I had to choose, of course, it's choreographers that I've danced more than one or two pieces with. So choreographers like Edgy Galili or Stephen Shropshire, who is the choreographer of About Miss Julie. Maybe they have a bit more contributed to my artistic career, but unconsciously or subconsciously, I would say that definitely everyone has more or less put their own input.
Ja, unsere drei Gäste sind sich einig, dass das gerade für Tänzer eine sehr schwierig zu beantwortende Frage ist, weil man ja mit sehr vielen wechselnden Choreografen arbeitet. Und Stephanos hat uns jetzt gesagt, dass insbesondere Stephen Shropshire und auch Itzhak Galili für ihn inspirierende Persönlichkeiten waren, aber letztlich die Summe der Choreografen und der einflussreichen Personen, mit denen man arbeitet, die Persönlichkeit eines Tänzers natürlich prägt. Another question, you can tell us any funny story that you can remember from your career. What was the most embarrassing or the most difficult moment that you had on stage?
I couldn't come up with anything when I thought about this.
Neither.
I don't know about you.
No, I also couldn't really find something that was like truly embarrassing. I mean, there's plenty of funny things that happen, but like they're more inside jokes, you know, like in terms of something truly embarrassing, like a... I don't know, because also like a fall, that's not so embarrassing. It's like potentially just really terrible. Like, you know, I've had friends that have like broken noses and stuff on stage.
Yeah.
And like, that's not embarrassing as it is like a bit funny, but also, you know, a bit tragic.
And now we go to the positive side, moments that you will never forget. What was the most unforgettable, the most inspiring moment in your career that you will remember forever?
Well, if I can pick one, but it's always unfair to other moments, obviously. But the one that stands out to me was an opportunity that arose back in... I believe it was 2014 or 15, where I had the chance to dance in Sadler's Wells, a beautiful duet by Tim Ruston. And it was, I shared the stage together with some great ballet stars. And I really don't consider myself on that caliber of dancers at all. But somehow, the fact that I shared the stage with all of them, it was a special moment.
Stefanos erzählt von einem wunderbaren Moment, als er im legendären Sadler's Wells Theater in London tanzen durfte, in einer Arbeit von Tim Rushton, mit Tänzern, zu denen er normalerweise meint, eher aufschauen zu müssen. Und deswegen ein ganz, ganz besonders eindrücklicher Moment. Any other stories you want to relate to us?
In my earlier career, dancing some pieces of choreographers that I had admired for so many years that had arguably like influenced my career choices or my career direction. So the first time I danced a piece of Yuri Killian and Matzek, these were quite like monumental moments because it's like they're people that you looked up to and then you're finally either working with them or dancing a piece of theirs. So those were quite special moments. And of course, like it's always difficult to pinpoint just one moment, but I would say that like we also share so many nice moments every time we go on stage, like with our group of dancers at Danish Dance Theatre. Like, we have a very nice energy between us, and so it might sound a bit cliche, but almost every time we're on stage together, it's so much fun. and that's a nice feeling that, like, you know, that you really trust your co-workers and you can just enjoy the space together. And
yeah. I guess that's a very relatable answer, of course, because in theater you always move from one production to the next and you move from one moment to the next. Also unsere Gäste sind sich nicht ganz einig, was ob man überhaupt einen Moment auswählen kann, weil es ja wirklich immer von der einen Premiere zur nächsten geht, von der einen Produktion zur nächsten. Aber was alle sagen, ist, dass Begegnungen mit Choreografen, die sie lange selbst bewundert haben und mit denen sie dann plötzlich die Gelegenheit haben, selbst zu arbeiten, dass das zu den ganz besonderen Erlebnissen ihrer Laufbahn gehört. Thank you very much, Jessica, Merete and Stefanos, for those quickfire answers. Bevor wir im Detail über die Choreografie Miss Julie sprechen, erzählen wir erstmal über das Stück Fräulein Julie von August Strindberg. Denn About Miss Julie ist eine Adaption dieses mittlerweile legendären, berühmten Stücks aus der Feder des schwedischen Autoren August Strindberg. Er schrieb das Stück 1888 und es ist eine der berühmtesten, wenn nicht die berühmteste Dreiecksbeziehung der Literatur- und Theatergeschichte. Worum geht es in Fräulein Julie? Fräulein Julie ist ein klassisches Kammerspiel. Es ist ein Stück für drei Personen und diese drei Personen sind die junge Julie, Tochter eines Grafen, also eine Adlige, ihr Diener Jean, der deutlich älter ist als sie, und dessen Verlobte Christine. Das heißt, eine Figur aus dem Adelsstand und zwei Figuren aus dem bürgerlichen Stand. Das Stück behandelt den Zeitraum eines Abends, in der darauffolgenden Nacht und des nächsten Morgens. Die Nacht, über die wir reden, ist die Mittsommernacht. Sie alle kennen das aus der schwedischen Kultur und auch Literatur, Mittsommernachtsfeste. Und an diesem Mittsommernachtsfest treffen wir die junge Julie, die etwas genervt ist von den Normen, unter denen sie leben muss, die unbedingt als junge Frau die Grenzen ihrer gesellschaftlichen Normen und Regeln sprengen will und die, das Skandalon des Stücks, bei diesem Fest sich erdreist ist, mit der Dienerschaft zu tanzen. Zu dieser Dienerschaft gehört insbesondere Jean, dem sich Julie sehr angezogen fühlt. Jean ist schon in der Welt herumgekommen, war unter anderem auch in der Schweiz, in anderen Ländern, kam dann irgendwann in die Dienste von Julies Vater. Und dieser Jean, dieser ganz normale Mann, der gar nicht zu diesen Standesregeln gehört, der übt eine gewisse Faszination auf Julie aus. Jeans Verlobte, die Köchin Christine, sieht das natürlich gar nicht gern und es entspinnt sich zwischen diesen drei Figuren eine klassische Ménage à trois, ein Spiel um Macht, um Geschlechterrollen, um Liebe. Und letztlich gehen Jean und Julie eine Liebesbeziehung ein. Das heißt, es kommt zu Handlungen, die Strindberg nicht näher beschreibt. Aber es ist klar, dass die beiden einander verfallen. Und am Ende ist diese Julie so tief gefallen, dass der einzige Weg, den sie sieht, um aus ihrer Lage sich zu befreien, der Selbstmord ist. Fräulein Julie ist mittlerweile ein legendärer Stoff, wurde mehrfach verfilmt, 1912 bereits zum ersten Mal verfilmt und erst vor kurzem wieder unter dem gleichen Titel mit Liv Ullmann in der Hauptrolle. Auch für das Ballett wurde Fräulein Julie bereits adaptiert. Birgit Kullberg vom legendären Kullberg Ballett hat 1950 die erste Ballettversion von Fräulein Julie choreografiert. Das heißt, ein Mythos, eine berühmte Handlung, eine legendäre Ménage à Trois.
Ja, vielen Dank, Jens, für diese spannenden Hintergründe zur Produktion. Zurück zur Choreografie. Ihr seid die Originalbesetzung und ihr habt 2018 gemeinsam mit dem Choreografen Stephen Shropshire die Choreografie erarbeitet. Jessica, Stefano Merette, you are the original cast. Are you coming to Schaffhausen? Will you dance here for us?
We are the original cast, yes. It was created on us. But we are not coming to Schaffhausen this time, unfortunately. Because we have other tours that are happening at the same time. So in order for the company to be able to do both, we have to send another cast for this show.
So how many casts does such a production have?
Just two at the moment. Actually, so we created this in 2017. We've had several shows of it since, and it's only ever been one cast until now. So now it's great to have a second cast so that we can share the roles, but also because it's a very demanding piece for everybody involved, and it's a bit risky to only have one cast in the case of injury, illness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The logic also behind it was because of the demands of the piece are high, but at the same time, in terms of numbers, it's low, the demands. That means that it allows the company to tour in parallel two pieces. So the reason we're not coming to Schaffhausen is because at the same time we're dancing something else for the company of Danish Dance Theatre. So Schaffhausen and another tour of Siren takes at the same place.
Die drei Tänzerinnen, die Sie gehört haben, werden nicht auf Schaffhausen kommen. Es gibt zwei Besetzungen, was ja im Tanz relativ wichtig ist, verletzungstechnisch etc. Wir werden drei andere Tänzerinnen und Tänzer sehen, Schaffhausen. Und parallel dazu werden Jessica, Stefano und Merette an anderen Produktionen arbeiten. Also die Tänzer sind nicht immer an einem dran, sondern es sind verschiedene Produktionen, die sie parallel erarbeiten und parallel touren. How is it for you to, or does in your eyes a production change when there's a different cast? Or can you say it's exactly the same what the audience will see?
Good question.
Yeah, very nice question.
I mean, definitely there is differences, of course, just because every person looks different and they move slightly different. But I think that the all-over experience will be the same. Yeah. Because also Stephen Shropshire is such a specific about his movement qualities and the details of his piece. So I think it will not diverge too far from the original.
No.
I think, yeah.
It was also us three personally relaying the information and teaching the new cast. And so we were able to give the information one-to-one. Mm. So there was less like issue of like Chinese whispers, you know, where it sort of starts to change along the way. The more times you tell something, it was really very direct information. And our new dancer, the new cast, they've been so dedicated from the beginning because, it is a challenging piece, and the focus has been there from the beginning, and their energy is really exciting. I think, it's going to be very beautiful to see them on stage. Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to the story of Miss Julie. Kommen wir zurück zur Handlung von Fräulein Julie, dieser legendär skandalösen Dreiecksbeziehung. What was the starting point for you three developing this production together with Stephen Shropshire? Did you actually really start with the play, with the plot of the play, or how did you get to develop the characters and the movement for the different characters in the choreography?
Yeah, as you say, yes. As it was very important for the choreographer, Stephen Shropshire, to get a very good grasp of the concept and the concept of the context of the play. We didn't start immediately working in the studio producing movement material or of such. We started by watching a movie adaptation that he suggested, and also we were given a very long, I have to say, text that had a psychoanalytical analysis of all three characters. So it was analyzing the roles, the characters, Miss Julie, Jeanne, and Christine from a psychoanalytical standpoint.
Also Stefanos erzählt uns, dass nicht unbedingt am Beginn dieser Arbeit ein choreografisches Grundgerüst stand, eine bestimmte Bewegungsinformation, sondern dass Stephen Shropshire mit den drei Tänzern wirklich begonnen hat, zunächst eine Verfilmung zu schauen, dieses Fräulein Julie-Stoffs, und dann ihnen auch wirklich Textmaterial gegeben hat zu lesen, wo er eine psychoanalytische Untersuchung dieser drei Figuren, Julie, Jean und Christine, stattfand. What was the takeaway for you from this psychoanalytical text? Was that difficult for you to look into characters basically from the point of personality, from the point of their individual ideas, their minds, and less from the point of view of how do I move as this character? War es schwierig für euch, euch auf diesen Text, auf diese psychoanalytische Untersuchung einzulassen und nicht zuerst zu überlegen, okay, wie bewege ich mich an diesem Abend?
I think that we benefited greatly from this approach, because we, by understanding the character's psyche, it helped us to inform how they might move. I think it helps us to make decisions on stage, because this adaption, it's a more abstract adaption. And so what we needed to create was the atmosphere, the environment, mm-hmm. and it's a very minimal piece in terms of lighting and set and costume. And so I think for us to truly understand our characters helped us create the story as we were going.
Jessica sagt gerade, es ist keine konkrete Adaption, wo die Handlung eins zu eins nachgetanzt wird, sondern es ist eher eine abstrakte Adaption dieser Dreiecksbeziehung. Und gerade deswegen hat es den Tänzern sehr geholfen, die Figuren und auch die psychologischen Motivationen dieser Figuren genauer zu verstehen, bevor man losgelegt hat. Jessica, you said it's more an abstract choreography. How can we imagine that? So you're not actually going to be reenacting this... this party and this dance and this and the relationship between Jean and his fiancée, and between Jean and Julie, or how does it play out? How specific and detailed do you get? Maybe give us an example from your actual work on stage.
Yeah, we're definitely following the story chronologically and scene by scene. We see the story unveil, but I would say that it's less narrative
there's something about how he choreographs that movements are movements, right? And you can do the movements with all the different layers on top. So if I do like one movement, I can do it sad, angry, happy, whatever. Mm-hmm. So somehow he makes the choreography, and then we put the layer of the emotion and the character on top of that. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's how the narrative maybe comes out, that we do it chronologically, but yes. Yeah, with these layers, you can just as the story unveils.
Also, one point on that could be that, yes, some of the movements might be abstract, but the intention behind the movement is never abstract. There's no arbitrary intention to the piece. Every movement has a backstory of any length or any emotion. So I guess a two-faced choreography, some abstract movements, but non-arbitrary intentions whatsoever.
Die Choreografie des Abends folgt natürlich der Handlung des Dramas von August Strindberg, aber nicht in dem konkrete Bewegungen, konkreten Handlungen des Dramas folgen, sondern in abstrakten Choreografie-Elementen. Und diese abstrakten Choreografien, die sind aber jeweils unterfüttert mit der jeweiligen Haltung der Figuren. Das heißt, umso wichtiger war es für die drei Tänzer, hier das Futter des Stücks zu haben, um ganz unterschiedliche Bewegungen zu haben. Stefanos hat gesagt, eine Bewegung an sich ist ja nur eine Bewegung. Es hängt immer davon ab, mit welcher Intention diese Bewegung untermauert ist.
The reactions of the public, how is the public reacting?
It's I would say it's quite an intense piece. The atmosphere tends to be quite dense, I would say, and I think the reaction in general, I think it's quite a moving piece, because you no matter whether you like it or dislike it, I think that you cannot disengage from it. There's an intensity, and I guess also in It's human, and we see these. It's current also, even though it was the original play was written so many years ago. There are themes that would still strike us now, and arguably we still they're still very present now in terms of male female relationships and.
The vulnerability of the roles also, I think, is what makes the public relate a lot to the piece.
It's very exposing for every dancer involved. And and I think it's exposing for the audience too, because of the minimalism that Stephen has chosen with the minimal music and minimal set and costume. There's very little to hide behind. And so it's quite raw in many ways.
There's no happy end to it.
Oh, yeah. But we weren't expecting a happy end if you read the play.
Also ein sehr minimalistisches, sehr dichtes Stück, eine sehr auch ernste, auch berührende, bewegende Choreografie, die, so sagen es unsere drei Gäste heute, die Zuschauer sicherlich nicht unbeeindruckt und unberührt lässt, sondern sehr stark auch mitnimmt und sehr stark bewegt, was Theater ja eigentlich im besten Fall tun sollte. One final question. What's the difference for you working on a piece like this, where, as you say, you're very exposed, you have a lot of moments where you're more or less on your own, or you have the two or the three of you. You're not working in a big choreography where you have to be in sync with 10 or 15 or 20 other dancers, but it's you, and the focus is mostly only on you. Is that does that add to the pressure, or is that something that can also be liberating? Also ist es ein zusätzlicher Druck, wenn man merkt, dass man an so einem Tanzabend in so einer Choreografie quasi auf sich allein gestellt ist, allein auf der Bühne steht, alle Augen sind auf einen selbst gerichtet, im Gegensatz zu einer großen Choreografie, wo man in einem Corps de Ballet oder in einer Kompanie mit 15, 20 anderen Tänzern synchron tanzt?
Yeah. Speaking for myself, I would say I totally agree with what you imply, what you're alluding to the question, because of the gravitation of my role, and I guess also that relates to the other two girls here. Yes, it's a bigger burden than just being in a, let's say, more conventional contemporary piece of 10 or 12 dancers that maybe you have a major dancing part somewhere, but that has nothing to do, it's not comparable to the situation where it takes place in About Miss Julie, because for me, at least, is the most. It's a dance. It's a contemporary dance piece that has such a heavy and deep roots to a theatrical play. So there is a demand to also really tell the story, but really explain the story, with being completely stripped from being to utilize the text or extreme face gestures and movement. So you have to use your brain power, you have to use your intention power in order to relay the story. Yeah.
Maybe for the same, so it's very exposing because we're so few, but it's also very liberating that we're few, because it is so much the relationship between the three of us in our journey together in telling this story. And it is exposing because it's just the three of us, of course, and because there's little to sort of hide behind. But we're also protected by the context. We're protected by the story in many ways. We're exposed by what we offer to the role, but we are ultimately playing characters. And in some way that can provide some kind of protection, but it's definitely a nerve-wracking piece to perform.
Imagine, ja. Jessica sagt gerade, natürlich, man ist deutlich stärker ausgesetzt als in einer großen Kompanie, wenn man so ein Stück spielt zu dritt. Andererseits ist es natürlich auch etwas, was enorm befreiend sein kann. Und der Kopf steuert sehr viel mehr die Bewegungen und muss die Bewegung auch deutlich mehr steuern als im Rahmen einer großen Gruppenchoreografie. Kommen wir zu unserer wöchentlichen Zuhörerfrage.
Die Zuhörerfrage.
Und unsere heutige Frage kommt von Adi aus Feuertalen. Der Adi möchte gerne wissen, wie schwerwiegend ist der Lockdown für euch als Company gewesen und für eure Probe und für euren Probeprozess und eure Auftritte. How serious was the lockdown for you as a dance company and for your planned tour?
Yeah, well, I mean, in a way, I think we were very lucky in Denmark because we're such a small country. So by closing our borders, we managed to keep it more under control than, for instance, big countries like Germany, etc. So we were in lockdown for 2 months. And after 2 months, we were actually able to come back to work under restrictions. But since then, we've been almost working like normal. And we even managed to get some tours done. We've been to Italy and to Germany already, now just after summer. But now, of course, with the numbers going up again, especially also in Copenhagen, we are now under more restrictions again, and tours are being cancelled and stuff. Mm. So for now, we're a bit lower again on production. But yeah, in studio, we can be close, no masks. So we have quite good working.
Also sie sind gut vorbereitet auf die Situation, sie werden regelmäßig getestet und vertrauen einander, arbeiten als Familie und sind zuversichtlich.
How long is the choreography? Wie lang dauert der Abend? And for what age group would you recommend it? Für welche Altersgruppe würdet ihr diesen Besuch empfehlen?
It's about an hour.
I believe,
right?
It's yeah,
it's around an hour.
Yeah.
With no break.
Yeah.
And I would maybe say it's not necessarily for a very young audience, but I don't think that any age group would be excluded, but of course there are some very strong themes that for a very young child would be difficult to process, purely just because they maybe haven't had the time yet to experience these kind of emotions, maybe.
Yeah, it's not kid friendly. No. Let's just say it's teenagers and adults.
Yeah, exactly. It's for a more mature audience for sure. Mm.
Also der Obig dauert rund eine Stunde und richtet sich an junge Erwachsene und Erwachsene.
Good, thank you very much, Stefanos, Jessica and Merete, for this short quickfire talk on about Miss Julie. We very much regret that you will not be making it to Schaffhausen in person, but of course we hope to see you with the choreography that you're touring with at the moment, with Siren maybe in the near future.
Hopefully soon.
Nächste Woche behandeln wir an dieser Stelle Shakespeares legendäre Tragödie Othello in der Produktion vom TNT Theatre Britain und wir gehen unter anderem der Frage nach, was die Black Lives Matter Bewegung zu Shakespeares großer Eifersuchtstragödie sagen würde. Wir danken Ihnen fürs Zuhören, vielen Dank Diane und unseren Gästen und bis zum nächsten Mal.
Drehbühne. Das ist ein Podcast vom Stadttheater Schaffhausen.